This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening live to a bar in Cumming, Georgia. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're at Buffalo. Make some noise now here in the crowd. Look at this bar, man. Got a great crew, man. Look at Carl. It's just about 4 o'clock, and these people are already getting rocked.
Everybody's rich up here.
I tell you what, living by the lake, it's a good life. But we're hanging out here at Buffalo's. Be here till 7 o'clock. Come on down and join the party, pal.
Yeah, man. And we're having a good time. We will continue our conversation, obviously, about the Braves. You missed our conversation earlier in the show. One of our MLB Odyssey insiders stopped by, and he had an interesting perspective on the Braves, which got us into this conversation about, again, it's the why right now, right? We're frustrated. We're 0-7. We hadn't won a damn game. We're going, all right, how do we turn this around? What do we do? And now is what happens when you're losing. You know what happens when you're losing? You start pointing fingers.
Yes.
You start saying, who didn't do their job?
Who's to blame?
Who didn't spin properly? Who didn't get enough pitching? Who did? And that's what's going on right now, right? Granted, that's what we're doing.
Now, again, that's no joke. Guy, he was listening to us earlier in the 2 o'clock hour. Ronald hit us up at the text line. He goes, and now this is what I love about our younger audience, and we don't assume that everyone knows. Ronald is asking the question, Carl. He goes, when were the Braves in Boston?
Oh, wow.
Now, if you're – here's the thing, though. If you're like 24
– you wouldn't know that.
And you don't
– yeah, maybe not.
I don't know, use the internet. But the Braves came from Milwaukee, and from Milwaukee they came from Boston.
That's right.
And there was a huge – because people don't remember, when you ever hear the old days, remember like Mel Allen, This Week in Baseball? Let's take a look at the senior circuit. That was the National League. The National League started in the 1870s. The American League started around the turn of the century. So the Yankees, the Red Sox, that's all younger. That's why they're called, the National League's called the senior circuit. So the Braves had a really big, rich tradition in Boston, but they were the Boston Braves, then to Milwaukee, then down here. But and now, so now, if nothing else, you learned something from Dukes and Bell. But the last time the Braves got off to this bad a start, batting, hitting, was 1942 with the Boston Braves.
Yeah, and I know we forget, too, is, you know, in 2016, we started 0-9. It seems like forever because we've been in the playoffs since 2018. But we were bad prior to 2018.
But that was rebuild time.
It was.
That was the last year of Turner Field.
Correct. And it was different because we weren't supposed to be any good, right? That was the deal. We weren't quite there. We were coming.
Expectations are low.
Yes, this is different. Expectations are high because we have built a team that should be competing. I was talking about Rob Bradford. You'll hear what he had to say coming up at 5:40 here. Grant's going to join us a little bit later on, but the Braves are front and center, guys, and rightfully so. We got to figure it out. We got to get right, and they play again tonight against those Dodgers.
Hey, one thing before we get to the dog report, because we got heated earlier. We were talking about the Braves, and we got off track about some of the things we brought up in our fourth and one. We were talking yesterday about Ryan Nuzil, just real quick. Nuzil getting kept as the center.
Sure.
And you and I said, you know, I don't remember Nuzil being a problem. But a lot of guys hit us up on the text line yesterday. We didn't get at the end of the show. Nuzil is kind of just okay. A lot of penalties. And as far as the ranking, now I don't know how you feel about his run blocking. He's ranked 35th of 64th amongst interior linemen. Mm. And remember, guys, there's only 32 teams in the NFL to be the 35th guy. He's playing center. Pass blocking comes up at 35th as well. He overall ranks at 41st out of 64. So for guys who play the center position, some Falcon fans are saying, should you not talk? Was it David Andrews, the former Georgia Bulldog who was out there coming off an injury, only played a few games for the Patriots? Either way, they feel confident in Nuzil, but I wanted to give those guys credit because I was kind of saying, I guess he's okay. They're saying, is he okay?
I think he's a better run blocker than pass blocker. As I said to one of our listeners, I'm aware of the PFF numbers. I would tell you the Falcons did 8 games of evaluation, and here's the thing for me. Listen, I'm big on the eye test. Was there a fall off in the run game, okay, when we instilled him into the starting lineup and installed him to the starting lineup, Mike, and Drew Dahlman was not in there? The answer is no. the passing game was always suspect because we were all focused on Cousins and his inability to move in the pocket, right?
Now, if you guys remember, Cousins would have one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and he wouldn't pull. Carl always says,
pull!
And he wouldn't get the ball out on time. And some of that was whether that was his legs or his knee or whatever, the Achilles.
Like the Raiders game.
The Raiders game was the
Raiders
perfect
game.
Example. He couldn't get the ball out on time. He was always like a half tick behind. It started in the Saints game. Remember everything was getting launched high?
Yes.
He was sailing all his throws. But that goes back to, you could argue that Cousins had a window before we get on McGarry. But McGarry's now, his role reverses because you got a left-hander. He does become the blind side.
So, listen, I'm not telling he's the best thing since sliced bread, and he's certainly not the best center in the league. But for where we're at, Mike, and I think how they wanted to allocate these funds, they weren't willing to spend $20 million as Drew Dahlman. I think he got, what, 27 guaranteed, I believe, right, it was, or something of that nature, from the Bears. They just weren't willing to do that, and they felt like with the 8-game sample space that they got from New Zealand last year, that they felt comfortable. But I hear you guys. I understand. We're going to see. Listen, I've said this. I'm not worried about the O-line. I'll be honest with you guys. That's not our issue. It's not. Our issue is getting to the quarterback, getting off the field, getting stops, secondary. Like, we got major issues in other areas that we've got to fix outside of the offensive line.
Look, I saw Michael Penix Jr. Yeah, he had a bad interception, but all rookies make mistakes. He had a bad interception against the Commanders, but he also did enough to win that game.
That's right.
And think about the game against Carolina where they do the what we used to call the high point toss, right, to Drake London, and they don't get it. They come right back to it.
That's right.
And that's something Matt and Julio could just, for whatever reason, never seem to get on the same page with. So I love his attitude. Look, we enjoy talking to Michael Penix Jr. You know me. My old beef was either one or the other, but now he's the guy, and we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop wherever Cousins goes.
All right, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live incoming at Buffalo's Cafe. Right now, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
So Kirby Smart was speaking about a bunch of things, and I just want you to hear a few of them, Mike. Yes, we know spring ball is going on. Yes, G-Day is approaching. But I think it's important to hear from the premier coach in college football, Mike, and his mindset as things move forward. You know, he's one of three active coaches that has a national championship, obviously. He's got back-to-back. Nobody has that. And so his influence goes a long way. And, Mike, he was asked about the changes going on in the future of the sport, specifically in college football. And this is something you've brought up. I think it's kind of been out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
But it's the final approval hearing for the House versus NCAA settlement.
This is it. This is the final ruling you and I have been talking about. It was going to come down about now.
But it's Monday, all right? Next Monday, this is going to happen. And this could change college football significantly. So we'll see how the judge ultimately rules.
The way it was explained to us by guys who cover this for the business of sports,
sure,
it was going to be about a $25 million salary cap per team.
Per team.
In the big boy football.
What's that mean, though, day to day?
Right.
It also means that there will be roster limits. So these walk-ons that we talk about that make teams now and, hey, they got a shot, that goes away because you're not bringing those guys in.
No, okay? Gray shirt, the old Saban thing, your wide receiver, your star. You know. But here's the thing. How much do you divvy up for that lineman that Georgia has been missing the last few years on both sides of the ball that really becomes that sort of secret sauce? Because now you really have to run it, and that's why you see guys like how Belichick has put his staff together in North Carolina with a former NFL executive to manage the cap.
So it's a $2.8 billion payout that would be paid out to college athletes, okay? So Kirby was asked about this, and I just want you to, you know, hear a little bit of what he had to say here on the show. As far as the first thing he talked about was this settlement and what it may mean.
You know, everybody's on pins and needles because we don't know exactly what's going to come out of this. What I do know is that we're going to continue to recruit people who love football, who are passionate about football, and that don't put money as the number one answer. Like, I've never met a really good player that's all they care about. So, like, the 105 number, the NIL number, what's the cap number, what is this going to be?
And he's saying, like, for us at Georgia, and listen, not everybody's going to operate this way, but I think for sustainable success, Mike, he's right. Like, I need to know, like, you know, you're coming in here asking me about the number. I'm coming in here asking about your passion for the game and if you want to get better and do you possibly want to play in the NFL one day. And if the answer to that is no, and all I care about is the 100 grand or whatever you think, the $4 million, you know, dollar evaluation that I think I'm worthy of, then you may not be the guy at Georgia. And that's what Kirby's saying about he doesn't care about this settlement. He's still going to approach this the same way, but it's going to change a lot.
Now, you can say that, but, I mean, Kirby may not be the guy saying that to the recruits.
Maybe not.
Your assistant coach, your position guys, you know, the guys who recruit some of these guys, maybe there's a little more moral flexibility with how this plays out. Because to say it's, I want guys that are passionate about the game. If you're here for dollars and cents, you're at the wrong program. Well, no, not necessarily.
And then you're saying they slip him into another room and a guy goes, I've got your money?
And now position coach X is going to explain how this works. I'm just saying.
No, you're not wrong.
And I love the fact that, you know, Nick Saban used to use his platform as a bully pulpit to say what's right or what's wrong, what he thought about college football. And Kirby has kind of inherited that mantle, right?
He has.
Kirby's now saying, look, I want guys who want to win. If you're here for money, I want money, but I want to win, but I want to get coached up by the right guys. Because Saban used to say, if you come here, Belichick's probably saying the same thing in Carolina. You come here, listen to the coaches, you're going to make the grades.
You're going to go to the league.
You're going to go to the league. But it's hard when you know now, guy who's number two on the depth chart can take his ball and scram. How can you be, unless we're going to get some kind of guardrails that say, you sign a contract with a school, this is what I think I'm waiting to see. You go to Georgia, you sign a four-year deal. If Alabama takes you from Georgia, Alabama owes Georgia compensation.
Okay.
So that's just the starting point. It's basically just like the pros. So if you're going to pilfer somebody in the transfer portal, there's got to be some degree of compensation. That's just one way to look at it. You get one chance to transfer in 4 years. Can we all agree that that's okay?
But the things you're suggesting are not in
place. That's not in the books. But that's why I'm saying for a coach to say, for Kirby to throw this out there, that's ballsy. Because it's going to be harder to implement this in the real world.
Until you get some guardrails. Here's Kirby talking about he knows what's coming with, does not know what's coming with NIL.
What I do know is that we're going to continue to recruit people who love football, who are passionate about football, and that don't put money as the number one answer. Like, I've never met a really good player that's all they cared about.
And that's part of the soundbite you just heard.
Right.
Mike, he also was talking about the unpredictability of what this settlement is going to mean with NIL. We're talking about Kirby Smart addressing some of the things that are going to happen. Next Monday is going to be a big day. It's going to be a normal day until this judgment comes down, and then you're going to see people freaking out around college football because it's going to change a lot. And so that's why Kirby's addressing this. One of the things, though, and this is to his point, Mike, he said on what's coming, meaning I don't know,
right,
but it could be legendary for college football. Listen to Kirby Smart.
It could be one of the most legendary, you know, moments in all of college sports with what's coming up on this ruling. And how people are going to try to manipulate a cap when all we're trying to do is make for competitive balance. And it's really unfortunate that I don't know if competitive balance is going to come out of it. You know, like, I don't know if the kids win in this model that we currently have, if they win long term.
Well, here's the thing. You have always provided free labor for a $1 billion industry.
Mm.
So we can all agree that the players deserve some compensation.
Yes.
But it's maybe they overcorrected to the point where even like guys like me, they're open-minded about this, go, wait a minute, this is getting a little too kooky. But I get where Kirby's going with this. I just felt that there was a simple fix. We've already missed that. The NCAA is responsible. They could have given a percentage of TV money. We'd never be down this road, right? Imagine you could have had walk-around money for everybody and we would have been fine. But now moving forward, okay, I will say this, and you and I have debated this for the last 11 years together. Anytime there's a major change in college football, the top 25 is still the top 25. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Miami comes and goes. Florida State comes and goes. Alabama generally stays there. The Ohio State stay there. USC comes and goes. But the core, the top, even the top 40 is still the same. So that's why I think people feel like the world's going to swing off its axis. I disagree. The same teams are the same teams competing.
All right.